Welcome back to the Balance Bully Podcast for ambitious women in business and a few brave men. I'm your host, Nikita Renthigpen, always excited to be in the place with you. All right. It, at the time of this recording, is all about women. It is National Women's History Month. It is National Social Workers Month. It is National Givers Month. It is National You Go Girl. I just made that up, but that's what we're calling it. That's what it is. And if you're a few brave men listening to this, think of your forever lover that you want to also have a go girl moment as you listen to this. And we want to welcome in this fantastic human, Tiffany Hauser, an executive and leadership coach and founder of Evolve. She is on a powerful, potent mission to transform senior leaders and founders who are experiencing some challenges with their self-worth, authenticity, and their vision because she wants them to get reintegrated with their purpose. And she is doing it oh so well. Tiffany, welcome to the BBP. How are you today?
I am so well, Nikita. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So you and I were talking in the green room about the fun that we've been having with the tech gremlins for the last month. All the technology challenges at the time of this recording for everyone listening. There was a lot of stuff going on with Meta, with shutdowns and Instagram issues and Facebook issues that kind of just rippled across the ethos of technology. I call it tech gremlins because, you know, we value technology, but sometimes it is very much like who turned on the light and why did everything turn ugly? And I know that that's created some challenges in some of the philanthropic work that you have going on, Tiffany, at this time. Do you want to share with everyone just a little bit of a breath of who you are and what you're doing in the world in addition to Evolve and how the tech gremlins kind of impacted your work the last few weeks?
I love the tech gremlins. I'm like, ooh, I want to make something up because part of the work I do as well is we look for the fun or the joy or the lightness in whatever it is that's impacting us or affecting us in the moment. And so, yeah, the little issue with Meta was, you know, and we all do this or we've seen it from a friend or family when it's your birthday. So I love how, you know, you highlighted we are in Women's History Month and my birthday is March 1st and nice. My birthday kicks it off. And so I wanted to, and I did eventually do just a little fundraiser for the charity that I sit on the board of, because it's just an easy way to raise awareness. And if anybody's feeling generous, so be it. Yes. And wouldn't you know, those little tech gremlins were just getting in the way left and right, yet it didn't impact overall. But it's interesting because those tech gremlins do, when I am not grounded in my self-worth and in my leadership and my power, they do have me creating stories of this, what's going on with technology, everything, nothing's working out. It's always when I want to do something. And I always say, we love technology until we don't. Technology right. is incredible until it's not. It's so mm-hmm. convenient until it's not. So yeah, thanks for shedding some light on our current experience.
No, and that's the reality of the storms and hurricanes, a few intervals and tsunamis that come for the experts to the experts, right? The advisors to the advisors that we were talking about in the green room as well. We all need a little extra self-love, self-care, reminders of our self-worth, even when logically we know all the things, even when we're the creators of powerful, you know, patent-worthy trademarks, formulas to serve other people, we still have to make sure that we're creating that space for us to be regrounded and re-anchored to kind of go back to what you were saying. And this isn't a preaching to the choir moment because Tiffany knows this. This is for everyone listening who's having a moment of like doubt of how powerful you are and how brilliant you are because you've had a moment that Tiffany's describing where you're like, oh, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? And how, why, whatever.
it's the equivalent of stumping your toe in the morning, and then you hit the, oh crap, and everything becomes an oh crap moment for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're a horrible, broken person because you had this kind of rippled day. You just had a day. So giving yourself some grace to, you know, where we're going with this is really important. And I know, Tiffany, this is a lot of the work that you're doing with the executive leaders and founders, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny. I'm sitting here, for the people who can't see me live, I'm sitting here giggling because I told Nikita it was not just a day, it's been a month, and not just a tech gremlins. I just said it was my birthday. We're celebrating. And when I went to get a manicure pedicure, the woman gave me a pedicure and left and did not give me a which was strange and bizarre. And I could have made up all the stories and blamed the store and blamed the woman. But I'm like, okay, maybe I didn't need a manicure today. I go to Trader Joe's and the entire refrigerated section is empty. They had a tech gremlin or a electricity gremlin.
Wow.
And it just was these, like you said, the ripple effect of the things that when we are not grounded in our self-worth or grounded in just the reality of being present, being grateful, and being connected to what we do have, that these little instants and circumstances can really throw us off balance. And, you know, I always say the wind is always blowing, yet, and you mentioned this, Nikita, when we are anchored in, it doesn't matter how strong the wind is blowing.
That's right.
And who walks out on the manicure and if there's no vegetables in the Trader Joe's, which is, you know, I laugh because there is Whole Foods, there is Publix, there is Costco. Like Trader Joe's isn't the only grocery establishment. And so I love what you just, you know, how you wove that all together because one of the tools and one of the gifts in really being grounded in your self-worth is, again, being able to find the light, the joy, and in some great cases, the fun and the funniness of it all. So yeah, thank you for highlighting all of that.
No, I love your way of kind of framing it all together because you're making me think of what we talk about a lot here is the importance of laughter. Right? Like sometimes we have to laugh at ourselves too. It's crucial. It's therapeutic. It's beneficial, but it can also just put things in perspective, right? Like you said, just kind of picking on, like, we all love Trader Joe's. So no offense, right? For anyone who's listening.
No offense, girl. I am like a number one fan.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they, you know, they're not the, to your point, they're not the only grocer in the area. Luckily for you and I that don't live in food deserts, you can go a couple blocks down and grab something else or Instacart it or DoorDash it or whatever app is being, I have no idea now, that's being utilized for these things. There's workarounds. And this comes up not just in our grocers and in our technology with donations, but it comes up in, for many of our listeners have businesses and are high level leadership positions. It comes up with your work too. When you're like,
absolutely.
Oh, right. Remember back in the day, I'm dating myself a little bit here, when you had to send a fax and the fax would get crinkled in the machine and get like, you know, messed up.
Or your copies. Yes, I do. Your original would get crinkled up.
Yes. Yeah. And how it would be like a nightmare of nightmare for all of the reasons. And technology has come so much further where most of us don't have to deal with original copies going through scanners and faxes and all of it. We can just pull it back up from the Dropbox or the Google Drive or wherever it is and resend it if someone said they didn't get it. And it takes milliseconds. Just putting things in perspective of what really matters in life, your partners, or as I like to call them, your forever lovers, and your clients who are your client partners in success, because you're in each other's life to help each other and their businesses and whichever way you help them and you serve them to be more powerful, to be more potent, to create their own ripples and hopefully imprints on the generations to come because they have a more centered, grounded perspective, which is why I really appreciate the work that you're doing with the Advantage technique that you created, which is very close to my heart for so many reasons we can get into, you know, off camera. But it's really important that you're able to have these self-reflection moments for yourself, Tiffany, where you're like, you know what? This was a wacky month, and it happened to be a birthday month that I should have been, you know, flying high and rolling on skates with and enjoying, and I still am, and I still can. And that's really powerful.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because it's really about where our focus and our energy and our attention is in the moment. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I said, the wind is blowing and it can blow in some very interesting ways. And really, one of the things that we all get to take into account for is that it will consistently blow you in a new way. Yes. And so that's one thing that we as leaders or entrepreneurs or as people, we forget that the wind is going to blow you in a different direction eventually. It may not be consistently every day or every week or every month, but eventually it is going to blow you in a different direction. And that's one of the beauties of life, is that we are on a constant evolution. We are on a constant, you know, roller coaster of change. We're never going backward. We're going forward. I mean, maybe some of our politics feel like we're going backward, but we're moving forward. And sometimes the forward feels very twisty, turning, daunting. Yet it's part of what we get to consider. And, you know, in my work also, we talk about our capacity.
Yes.
And capacity, it sounds very similar to our boundaries when we explain it, yet our capacity is everything we could actually hold, accomplish, think about, process, compute. And, you know, I'm on this birthday kick right now. I just turned 49. So next year marks a new big fifth decade of my life. Yeah. And I'm starting to realize, you know, even in my perimenopause, which was a big shift in the wind for me. I had no idea how shifty and twisty that wind was going to blow me. And I'm still in it. And really being a detective and getting curious about how the wind might blow me. But the distinction of that is not getting too caught up in the future of like worrying and considering and overanalyzing and like forgetting that you're also in these present moments that are here right now, but taking into consideration how might the wind blow? And one of the biggest examples I use, even for the people that I coach, is our health. You know, given what I am going through right now with perimenopause, I now know we're talking about it, because once you talk about it, Facebook and Instagram will hit you up left and day with some ads and videos and content. So I'm good. I'm good now on the whole thing. But before then, you know, I didn't know. I've been going through this since I'm 43 years old, and I didn't know, because the gynecologists don't really tell you about it. And they tell you about menopause, but mine never told me about perimenopause or what to look out for or how to, you know, stay in a wellness state of mind and keep things in balance instead of waiting for this big thing or big change to happen for you. And that's really the same as in our lives. And, you know, I specifically work with people in the workplace, yet, Nikita, you know, very well, how we do one thing is how we do everything. And everything is all blended and integrated together. There is no such thing, in my opinion, as work-life balance. In our world, we call it work-life integration. And so where I am in my life right now, I can see how I'm playing my life and playing the game of life with my health situation and noticing where I go all the way with it. Where I avoid it, I do not want to know more about what could happen or what else. And then where I'm absolutely not being empowered or proactive, I could be jeopardizing myself in some of these areas. And that's the same with my relationship. with my forever lover, as I call my partner. And that's the same with my business, running this business. I know where I go all the way. Yeah. The things that I avoid, because I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so complex, or that's like so many layers to unpack. And then the things that I just completely don't pay attention to at all. And I'm not in a proactive state, because it's as if I don't have any power, or that it's going to resolve itself. And that's one of the keys in the advantage, is knowing that resolving is a huge lift. It's a big lift. It's possible. Yeah. Yet reconciling is one of these tools in the self-worth advantage that we open space for people to understand how to utilize it, that that gets us through these moments, so that it isn't like, I'm waiting for menopause, or I'm waiting for the accountant to tell me how much I owe, or I'm waiting for my prospective client to say yes or no. There are other things that I could be reconciling and being proactive and being engaged in along the way, which helps me maintain my capacity, so that I'm not in this all of a sudden, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then it's like the big results, or all the information, or now we have the contract and we weren't doing anything leading up to it to prepare. And so I really love to talk about the capacity of this all, because sometimes we get too caught up in the what ifs, the overanalyzing, or being a little too passive or dormant when it comes to whatever it is we're up to.
No, I completely agree with everything you said, except there's no work-life balance, but only because, one, I'm a balance and relationship advisor. But also because the way you described it is how I define it. Mm-hmm. So balance is a formula of admitting the truth of what you really want and seeing that truth in an overabundant, overflowing way, not just your safety needs, your physiological needs, your nurturing needs. Those are kind of understood. Over the boundaries, which includes energy management capacity, expired expectations, your spiritual center, your personal habits, and of course, you know, all the things that are really required for your boundaries so you can achieve that truth as reality. So I was smiling. You guys can't see us, but I was smiling. I was like, oh, honey, we say the same thing. I love when people come and say, like, there's integration and harmony. It was like, yes, it is. It's so important. It's so valuable. But you literally described it the way that I defined it within your context. And the importance of the capacity and the beautiful way that you kind of visually demonstrated it is crucial, especially if you're trying to reclaim your power and look at things without reacting, but being able to respond because you were in a preventative state. Yeah. Because you were seeing that there's a lot of good stress when the contract fully comes in, to use your analogy of what you were talking about, but it doesn't have to be nearly as stressful, even in a good way, if you have prepared with your systems and your structures, and, or even, you know, because you work in the workplace. I know you work with individuals as well as with leaders in the workplace. But one of the challenges that I'm sure you've come across with outplacement, and a lot of even your corporate clients that had to downsize and layoffs and all the things, is a lot of those people that weren't aware, that were completely taken by surprise by the layoff and the challenges, were then dealing with being in the marketplace again and having to not necessarily start over, but it felt like that, especially if you've been in an organization in a certain high level position for 5-10 plus years at a certain salary. You're considered overqualified for many of those other organizational positions and all the kind of loops that create with that. So a lot of people found themselves saying, well, where do I start? You know, besides the, you know, the natural recruitment process, I have to re-engage my network. Well, if you were always engaging your network, right? Like, to your point, if you had always been deepening in with those deliberate moments and doing it in an efficient way where it's integrated, so that you don't feel like you're being superficial and only calling on your network, your friendships, your power partners when you had a need, but you were, you keeping your ear to the ground for, how can I support you? How can I serve you? When I'm in this corporate position and I have friends, power partners, referral partners, whatever, that are speakers, and we have things coming up, let me look at my network and pull you guys in where it makes sense. Yeah. Instead of saying, oh, well, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not a speaker. I don't have time for that right now. We're doing this other thing. Because that's really what a lot of people are finding out right now, that not re-engaging those networks, or I'm saying re-engaging, but not engaging those networks in an integrated way across their normal weekly or monthly schedule is biting them in the booty right now.
Yeah, that is so, I love that you're bringing this up, because this is 1,000% related to self-worth and feeling like an imposter. Yeah. And so the job hunting or the job search process is where a lot of people's imposter feelings come out, mainly us women, mainly us marginalized women, and mainly women who are in those senior leadership roles, or, you know, are just about to enter those roles. Lots of imposter feelings come out in that space. And I love what you said, because this is, it's interesting. I had two people go through this that I was coaching over the last 3 years, either laid off or just quite frankly terminated. It wasn't even a layoff. It was just terminated, not a good fit. And so I appreciated the person reaching out for coaching, because, you know, if you're not grounded in your self-worth, you can go into a really, really deep spiral of self-doubt, beat up, judgment, you know, resentment, blaming, you know, all that stuff. And so you brought up a great point, because this is something I usually say this to people who just hire me to find the next opportunity. But you make up a good point, because when you are engaged and connected to what it is you're up to, there is no need to like be on the, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You already have some ideas of what you're going to do, because you are connected, as you mentioned, with your network, with your power partners. And not only that, there's another layer to that where there, this opportunity, while you are in your lane of employment or in your vocation of the time, how are you showcasing your thought leadership? Ooh. So it's not just only about networking with people and supporting people, but how you could also be supporting people with your thought leadership. So putting up a little stat or a story that just happened to you. There was a woman, her name is, it's on my Facebook. My LinkedIn. I'm going to need to find it, because this woman posted the most vulnerable post, and she's a chief people officer in a very well-known company. And she said, you know, one of the things we do here on these platforms is talk about our success and our achievements and our promotions. And I just got this new job and just won this award. And what we rarely do, which is a gift to other people, is let people know when we have fallen down and when when there is a breakdown or when things have not worked out. And what I took away from that, because this is one of our lessons or tools within the self-worth advantage, is you're either going to get the result that you want, or you're going to find the lesson. And finding the lesson is wonderful, yet you get to implement that lesson, because I'm still coaching people. We found their lesson, yet we are now working on implement. You know this already.
Yes.
You know this. So let's go ahead. Let's implement it, put it into action, practice it. And that's one of the things that we as leaders, especially women, we get to showcase the full story, not just the shiny parts, but the story, because there are, the imposter feeling is brewing out there amongst so many of us women, because we're only getting the story of the, I did it, I made it, it all worked out. When we all know, Nikita, we all know, for every one of those stories, there's probably 10, 20, 50 stories that are not so shiny. That's right. And there's so much wisdom and insight and resources. And really the resource is what not to do. You might learn before even approaching or trying, maybe not do it that way, because I've done it that way. Nikita's done it that way. 60 other women have done it that way, and it hasn't worked. So why do it that way? Why not try your own way, or, you know, keep looking and debriefing to find the way that does work for you? And so we get to also share our thought leadership along the way so that it isn't. And that's really one of the things that compromises our self-worth, which we can only do to ourselves. Right. Only we can make ourselves feel like an imposter, and only we can compromise our self-worth. And it, like I said, it does happen very intensely during the job search. And especially when we start being in that scarcity mindset of desperate, the bank account, the savings account is going lower and lower. And then we start feeling all these terrible feelings about ourselves, which I can guarantee 99.9% or 100% of those feelings are not even true.
Right.
It's just the fact that you are not grounded or anchored into your self-worth and to really what your vision is, what it is you really want. And then you're going to let that desperate wind blow you away to take a job that doesn't showcase your value, doesn't represent who you are authentically, and most likely will have you in the same spot. And the research is like within 2 years, you'll be mm-hmm. in the same spot. And really for a lot of people, because of COVID jostled so many people around in the workplace, it's been 9 months that people have, the average, have been right back looking for a job. And so I love how you are reminding us that the way we connect with our worth is connect with every person, connect. Don't stay in your silo of this is my job, this is my team, these are my responsibilities. And when I'm done there, I go home, I cook, which I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I do too.
Time is interesting. And I just watched a series on Netflix, which kept saying almost in every episode, time is an illusion. And I was like, thank you. It yeah. is what I say it is.
That's right.
I'm the one controlling time. I mean, you know, my aging process is different, but my my time, what I spend my time on,
yeah,
I am in control of that. There That's is right. nobody forcing or demanding. You know, and we're not talking about force or, you know, you're in an uncontrollable traumatic. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you might be making up a story that it takes all this time to jump on LinkedIn and say hi to a couple people or ask them, what are they up to? Or, you know, what are you working on? Do you need any support or insight or feedback? Do you know how many people want feedback about something in their professional career right now?
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't you want feedback about something in your professional career right now? And do you know how much it lights people up that you pick them to give you feedback? I would love feedback on, you know, here's this proposal I put together. I would love your feedback on it. You know, not your whole insight, but just like, I would love to hear what you think about this.
Yes. Yeah.
And just play in that way, be supportive in that way. And in the circle of it all, you're actually supporting yourself. So it's not greedy or selfish, because I like what you brought up. I call it transactional, mm-hmm, where we're just mm-hmm. like, I need a job. Who do I talk to right now? Because who can you send my resume to right now? Right. And then, like you said, poof, you go away and you don't hear mm-hmm. from this person again. In mm-hmm. our world, that's called being very transactional.
Right.
And people see right through that. And
that's right.
Most people aren't jerks. They are going to help you. Yet mm-hmm. you want to create that circle of community, of collectiveness, support, and mm-hmm. all the things that have you stay grounded in your self-worth, no matter, again, how gusty that wind is.
Oh, honey. I've been doing this show, this particular show, Balance Boldly, since 2016. And over the course of this show, there's probably four other times besides today that I want to throw my bunny slipper across the room while you were talking. I was listening to you, Tiffany. I know you saw my bobblehead, you know, moment. And I'm like, oh, yes, 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 all day long to all of the things. It's such that there's such alignment with what you're saying and what people need right now. And that is the heart of it. That is the truth of it. As much as we would all love to do what I know you said you'd have to pull the woman's name who came across your feed in LinkedIn that was talking
I'll send it to you.
Mm-hmm. Like sharing the glory and not necessarily, you know, the parts of the journey of their story that are yucky and may not look as pretty and posh as a pencil skirt in heels, right? But might be more of the sweaty hair, bangs, and sweatpants version of what's happening in your work as a leader, as a thought leader, as an impactor, in whichever way, whether you have a business or you don't, but whatever way that that's coming out. And to that point, when you don't see those stories, when you don't see people's heart that's not specifically sharing a story so they can direct you to a product, because that's the other time we will see a heartfelt moment is like, and so at the end of this long thing that I went through that I wanted to share, if you would like to purchase this perfume too, right? Like if you would like to grab this organic whatever too, when it's not necessarily for that. And there's nothing wrong with selling. Selling is beautiful. Selling is serving. But when all the things that you're doing feel so transactional, it feels very much for the person reading it, the person experiencing it, that they can't fully trust you because they're not sure if you're sharing a truth to empower people, to edify people, to serve them, or you're only sharing a version of yourself that will increase your sales. And all of those things have to be orchestrated in a way that's a little bit more strategic and transparent. And so it at least feels less transactional, which I love that you use that word, because transactional relationships are usually very challenging. And on the other side of this, I've heard people say, well, I just wish that not everyone has an agenda. And I was like, no, we all have an agenda. I had an agenda when out of, I don't know how many hundreds of emails and pitches that we get per week for the podcast, I chose Tiffany Hauser. I had an agenda. I was like, this woman right here is exactly what my listeners need to hear. That was my agenda, to provide something valuable through the experience, the journey, the personal story that I knew you would weave into your expertise, and for us to kind of dance between the two pillars, if you will, of that, the guru expert part of you and the very person inside, the professional part of you that people really want to hear. And I knew that you could do that much better than the 99 other people that we didn't choose for this particular episode. That was the straight agenda. And if we're honest that everyone has an agenda, even though the agenda doesn't have to be self-serving, it is intentionally selfish if we're looking at it from the perspective of how this can be a gift. How can this moment be a gift to other people and serve?
And listen, you are speaking so much into the self-worth advantage right now, because one of the pieces we talk about in the beginning is be self-serving, because the word itself, self-serving, if you yourself are not serving yourself, taking care of yourself, your needs, your wishes, your desires, who is? And there's another piece that I got from one of my mentors. We teach people how to treat us.
That's right.
So if we are not caring for ourselves and taking, you know, into account our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, how are we modeling this for other people to treat us?
That's right.
And so you do get to be self-serving. And what we support you with in the program, whether you take a course or coaching or workshop or just listen to, you know, there's a lot of content available that you could find, but we support you with unpacking your interpretation of self-serving or arrogant or what's the other word we use that people get this confused with? Oh, it's egotistical for me to focus all this, you know, I'm being too self-absorbed if I, and it's like, you're using all these words that have self in it. Be self-absorbed, absorb yourself in yourself, get to know yourself, advocate for yourself, speak up, you know, take care, bring in what you need and get rid of what you don't. Like the self-serving part is necessary to care for yourself. And so we support with reframing some of these words. We have a whole section called the language lab, because some of the language we're using is compromising our self-worth.
So you know,
the two biggest words we use that poke holes in our self-worth, and it's us doing it, not the words or anyone else using these words, The first one is hard. It's so hard. Mm-hmm. This is so hard. Mm-hmm. And the second one is wrong.
It's true.
And it's challenging because like I still, you know, it's not like I catch people, but we're still coaching people on that because if something isn't right, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And in that polarity, in that dynamic, that dualism of right and wrong, ooh, there's a lot of judgment. And you mm-hmm. talk about your work of relationships, ooh, relationships get, there's a lot of breakdowns when people are in that right, wrong energy mm-hmm. and that righteousness. Because mm-hmm. even in our righteousness, we don't even realize it. I catch myself sometimes in my righteousness because we're thinking like, we're all holier than thou right now. And like, it's like, if we peeled it all back, we all want the same thing, but we put way too many, in 2024, we have way too many layers on top of layers. And those layers now look different and they are not. Mm. And so that right, wrong energy gets us in a lot of trouble. So the language and the way we're speaking is poking holes. Just notice, look at your emails and your text messages. Mm-hmm. Look at how many times the word hard or busy or wrong or bad or negative, all these words are just saying, if you're not one, you're the other. If it's not good, it's bad. And if it's bad, it's not good. And if it's negative, it's not positive. And if it's positive, it's like, whoa, we are putting ourselves into these impossible corners with just the words we're using.
Yeah.
So I kind of went off on a little tangent, but self-serving. No, it was perfect. Everyone who's listening, please be self-absorbed mm-hmm. and self-serving. And really, you hit it earlier. It's about finding the win-win. How can I serve myself while also taking into account the other person, making sure the other person matters and know they are just as valuable in the moment. And that's really the definition of emotional intelligence. Yes. Is being aware of your stuff and also being aware. You don't need to know what their stuff is, but just knowing that they are a human being in your space. And are you speaking in absolutes? Are you speaking in judgments? Are you speaking in interpretations? Are you speaking in a way that is not inclusive or, you know, there's not prejudice, but there is... oh my God, the word just flew out of my head. But
it's right at the tip of your tongue.
Mansplaining or are you speaking with privilege? And and when we speak in all of these different ways, I know as a human being in our heart, we are not meaning to make anyone else feel bad. Yet some people, that is their intention. But most of us, we are not trying to make people feel bad. And yet we are because we aren't connected. We are in that transaction of... Yeah. I just want what I need in this moment, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And we get to also consider what the other person might need. And that's a whole, that's like level two or three of the self-worth advantage. So yeah.
No, it's a whole dance and you described it beautifully. It really is a dance of honoring yourself and knowing what you need, making room for it, being intentional about it, being honest about the truth of what that is, which might look different in 49 than it did at 47 or 35, right? 100%. Oh, good. We could go on so many tangents, but I did ask you before we started, what was your hard stop? So I want to be mindful of this.
No, we're good. We're good. I just checked.
Oh, we're good? I'm good. Okay.
Good. I've like,
I was like, woo, honey, because this is another throw bunny slipper across the room moment.
Yeah.
But I'm curious for all of the work that you're doing and all of the layers that you have to kind of move through and even add on as you've evolved over the years in your career and in your business and across your relationships. How are you now, the Tiffany of, you know, March of 2024 at the time of this recording, how are you giving yourself permission to pause when you need that space to recalibrate and just kind of reground yourself?
This is going to be pretty provocative. But really, when I really, really get into that space of when I know I need a pause, like a pause would really be wonderful right now. The first thing I say, no one's going to die if I just walk away from this right now. Nothing's going to fall apart. And it's all made up in my mind that like, I need to finish proofreading this, or I have to send this proposal out, or I have to like, you know, get approve all the things that go into the it's like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
And I also get to remind myself of what you said it earlier. that being graceful with myself works way better than being challenging and intense and difficult with myself. And really that pressure, and really, again, the pressure is just put on by us. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you could release pressure by enrolling people into another, you know, another possibility instead of, I got to do it now today. Hey team, how about we move this date by another week? Because I'm starting to see I don't think we're going to make it. And I'd like us to have some room and space to continue producing and designing rather than be in that, you know, that reactive, coming in hot, frenetic energy space. Yes. And so the pause, the permission I give myself is just to really understand Tiffany and her company and her, we are not solving the world's health issues. We are not keeping anyone alive, like on life support today. So if I pause, that is quite okay. And nothing is going to fall apart.
No, I love it so much. And we take for our company 2 core sabbaticals every year, micro sabbaticals, 1 6 weeks, 1 3 weeks. And in our out of office, it basically says there are no emergencies in personal development. Like, let me, you know, yes, I'm a psychotherapist, trauma specialist, and all those things under a hat, but that's not how I serve. So I'm 100% sure that if you are receiving this out of office, I'm not working with you in that capacity, to your point, that could be very life or death. And here are some emergency numbers if you feel like that has come up for you. Like, let's be very honest, because that is the way the world is moving, and I know my place in it. And just being really clear with yourself what your place is, to your point, I know the work that I'm doing is powerful as Tiffany Hauser. I know that it's important, that it's effective, that it's transformational, that it's catalytic. Like, I'm very clear on the importance, and in parentheses, I deserve that space too. And you have to be a reflection of your own work, right?
Yep. And I love the transformational piece, because, you know, even when you said that question, I was like, I don't even need the permission. I just do it. Like,
come on.
Because also, there is only so much of me and my team and what we have to give anyway. And we don't want to give it at a low level. So like you said, that we go back and plug ourselves into the matrix or the charger, whatever we're doing. And really, I do that quite often. Like, just on Monday, I was like, I'm reading the same sentence all over again. That means I am complete for the day. And this work is not, you know, no red hot sirens on this work for today. So
giving yourself that, I call them founder flow days. Like, Fridays for us are founder flow. And if the founder needs to go by the ocean or go take a nature walk or go have an orgasm, that's founder flow, which makes you more productive when you come back into the, you know, to use your term, the matrix, and kind of plug back in.
My jazz hands.
Like, this is what we're doing to jazz it all up. Mm-hmm. So how can people connect with you and learn more about your advantage technique, your programming, your services to the world, and just all that content that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, you can find us at selfworthadvantage.com. And our main umbrella company is evolveeq.com. And then you could also find me right over there on LinkedIn, like we talked about earlier, just Tiffany Hauser, H-O-U-S-E-R. And if you message me or reach out, I'm going to message you back. I love LinkedIn.
She said, don't come to play if you didn't come to play. Listen, don't think I'm not going to respond.
And there's lots of content on my LinkedIn page and our company. There's lots.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for carving out extra overflow time for us today and really pouring in who you are, which I received fully. And I know that the listeners have benefited and been blessed by it, because that's what we do. We only bring the most potent of humans. So thank you so much for showing up and showing up fully today.
Yes. And thank you, Nikita, for having me. And thank you, everyone, for listening today.
Balance Boldly listeners, as always, I'm doing one of those moments where I'm patting myself on the shoulder that my husband and my adult children very much hate because they think it's the corniest thing in the world. But I'm just excited because I had a bunny throwing slipper moment, which again is rare here on the BPP over the course of over 8+ years of this show. So thank you for tuning in, for leaning in. And if you are new to the show, I ask you to make sure that you review and subscribe. But for the oldies and goodies of the OGs, you know, I'm about to ask for two favors. The first is to come into yourself. Just center and think of at least one person who can benefit from hearing Tiffany Hauser's story. One person in your ecosystem that really needs to hear this episode, and share it. Just share it without context. Put a cap on it. Heard this dope thing. Thought of you. Don't add anything else. Let them come to their own conclusion. That is the first ask. And the second is to do what I ask you to do every single week, which is to go and enjoy the balance of your day, but do it boldly.